Domestic violence, amongst other implications, have been cited by Liberal backbencher Andrew Wallace as a reason for age restrictions to be placed on online pornography with verification required for access to the content. The proposals come after government-commissioned research and a Social Policy and Legal Affairs Committee report. Jared Cross has more.
A proposal to limit online pornography accessibility has been voiced by Andrew Wallace, Liberal MP for Fisher and Chair of the Social Policy and Legal Affairs Committee of the House of Representatives. The proposals would see such content limited to those over the age of 18.
In February 2020, the Social Policy and Legal Affairs Committee made 6 recommendations in its Protecting the Age of Innocence report. One of those recommendations was essentially that the government should look to introduce age verification for online porn. We know that young people as young as the age of 8 are being exposed to what is sometimes very graphic, very violent, hardcore pornography. When young people are literally stumbling across pornography, it is having devastating impacts on them.
The committee suggests per commissioned report that a correlation exists between the age one first accesses online porn and future complications. Erectile dysfunction, distorted perceptions and practical expectations of sex were cited alongside violent behaviour by Mr. Wallace as potential implications.
There's a direct correlation between access to pornography, repeated access to pornography at a young age, and domestic violence. And it's something that, you know, a society shouldn't be willing to stand by and enable.
The proposal offers the question of what constitutes pornography. The member provided a quick definition, but steered away from whether other material could get caught up in this.
Pornography is either a photograph or video of sexual conduct, whether that's consensual or non-consensual. But I think the point is that the concept of pornography is definitely changing. When I was a kid, pornography was nothing more than a centre page of Playboy or Penthouse. You know, that would be regarded as very mild pornography in these days.
He also denied the idea that limited access for teenagers and young people might have negative impacts, closing an avenue for those with little educational opportunity posed by cultural, social or religious restrictions, opting to focus on some of the material currently available.
In my view, it is not teaching a healthy view of what a normal, healthy sexual relationship is about. Many of these hardcore pornographic videos that are available on the internet are demeaning of women. They show many instances of non-consensual sex. They show instances of, sex against children. I certainly do not accept that, that pornography should be accessible by young children as some sort of educational tool.
While a set idea as to what the proof of age systems might look like, Andrew Wallace stated that the technology is there and that user safety would be a priority.
The committee received many submissions on the technicalities of how this could be done. There's no prescriptive model that the committee has put forward, but there's certainly recommendations around general themes about how we go about this. And it could be, no one's suggesting that, there's this porn providers would be required to hold information or data about their particular users. There would all be all sorts of standards required about how this would actually be done in a safe way that couldn't be hacked.
Member for Fisher and Chair of the Social Policy and Legal Affairs Committee, Andrew Wallace, ending that report by Jared Cross. This story was produced prior to the government response to the proposal. When we consider that the Royal Commission into Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Deaths in Custody report was tabled 30 years ago, and still there are preventable deaths occurring, there's much to do to have real reconciliation in this country. Slow progress from the 2017 Statement from the Heart is also glacial, and much needs to be done to advance the process started in Alice Springs. While we need to address all these things, we can reflect also on the many positive achievements that Indigenous people have created and the importance of their place in contemporary Australian life. In this Reconciliation Week, I ask CEO of Reconciliation Australia, Karen Mundine, how we can all join in the spirit of reconciliation.
Reconciliation Week is a chance for all Australians to come together, to take a moment to think about what is the relationship we want to have between the First Nations Australians and all other Australians. And every year we have a different theme to kind of help focus that contemplation. And this year our theme is More Than a Word, Reconciliation Takes Action. And I guess where we came up with the theme is that earlier this year we put out a report, which was a bit of a state of the nation, a state of reconciliation in this country. And what we found is that while we have more Australians than ever who understand the concepts of reconciliation and support them, who know more about the history of this country and particularly as that history relates to First Nations peoples, what we're not seeing it translate into is unacceptable experiences of racism. What we're also seeing is increased numbers in out-of-home care for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people and children. And also we're seeing, you know, increased numbers of people in incarceration. And given that we were set up out of the Royal Commission to Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, this is really concerning for us. So really, as we came up with the theme for the year, it's a call to action to all of our supporters, to all of those people that are engaging in reconciliation action plans and who are taking the time to learn more about our history and our stories. It's actually time for us to do more than just raise levels of awareness. We've actually got to do something with that knowledge.
And how do you think we're going? I mean, are we more reconciled than we used to be?
Look, I think it's one of those things. It's not a simple sum, if you like. As I said before, we know more people than ever know issues around Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, but we really need to actually do more with that knowledge. We need to raise awareness. When it comes to things like race relations or racism, it's not good enough just to say, I'm not racist. In fact, what we want people to do is actually stand up and say something. If you see or hear incidents of racism, you need to actually say something rather than just be silent in that process. We're looking for allies, and more than that, we're looking for accomplices to how do we create a better Australia.
And how important is it to move on discussion with things like the statement from the heart that was made at Uluru?
These are really fundamental issues that were raised during the Uluru Statement from the Heart. When we look at voice, when we look at treaty, when we look at truth, these are all key issues when it comes to reconciliation. I think what the Uluru Statement from the Heart did was a beautiful invitation for all Australians to get involved, to have a say, and as all of us as citizens of this country, we absolutely should. It's really important that we put Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's voices and our aspirations at the centre of that thinking, and the voice is the mechanism to do that. Through that, we're able to make agreements and treaty, and truth-telling is such a key component of reconciliation. We need to know those stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, but we also need to know them so we understand our relationships and also what we need to change in the future.
And with the Reconciliation Week itself, are there events that people can attend and get involved with?
Yeah, there are so many events, so many that I've already attended at the end of last week and more to come. Jump on our website, reconciliation.org.au, and you can find something localised. There are lots of art shows that are happening, film screenings. I'm heading west to Perth later in the week to do a reconciliation walk. The relocation of the AFL Dreamtime game there in Perth means that we'll also do the long walk over there as well in the west. So there are lots of things still happening throughout the week, so I'd encourage people to get out and about where they can.
CEO of Reconciliation Australia, Karen Mundine, speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to The Wire, around Australia on the Community Radio Network.